Hi, and welcome to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast. Each week, we talk with patients, survivors, caregivers, advocates, or healthcare professionals and do what Cure does best, provide cancer updates, research, and education. In this week's episode, we spoke with Lainey Jones, who has found her purpose in helping others after being diagnosed with five separate cancers before the age of 35. Because of a rare genetic condition that predisposes her to develop the disease. It all began when Jones was diagnosed with adrenal cancer as an infant. Since then, she has come face to face with five separate primary cancers before the age of 35, breast cancer at 24, melanoma at 25, thyroid cancer at 26, and most recently, sarcoma. In her search for answers, Jones discovered that she has Lee-Fraumeni syndrome, which affects just 500 individuals in the United States. Now cancer-free, Jones has turned her experience into a positive by sharing her story and helping others.
Your story is just incredible. You've had five different primary cancers, all before the age of 35. Can you start off by sharing a bit about your personal cancer journey?
Yeah, definitely. So my cancer journey actually started when I was 18 months old. I was diagnosed with a rare form of adrenal cortical carcinoma. And, you know, it was something that obviously I was too young to remember, but old enough to know when I was like a child that I had cancer, but never really thought anything of it. So when I was 18 months old, I did have my left adrenal removed, and I didn't need any treatment moving forward because my tumor was completely encapsulated. And I moved on from there. I had checkups, I would say, every 6 months and then to a year until I was about 15. And they were just, the doctors were just like, okay, you're good to go. You know, my mentality always was is that I had cancer as a child. I don't think I could ever get cancer again, which probably shouldn't have been a good mentality to have. But I was actually studying to become a nurse because since I was a patient as a child, I always just wanted to, you know, give back and focus on pediatrics. So I was about 2 weeks into going into nursing school, and I was 24 years old at the time, and I had felt a lump in my breast about 6 months prior to that and just kind of ignored it because, again, I thought I was a hypochondriac. I was going to be a nurse. I'm like, I had cancer before. I can't get it again. So this December of 2018, I said to myself, I said, you know, I think this lump is getting bigger. Let me just go back to the OBGYN and, you know, insist on getting like an ultrasound or a mammogram, which, backtrack a little bit, I did get a prescription for an ultrasound 6 months prior, but I neglected to do it. So I was diagnosed with breast cancer at 24. And then I had a double mastectomy. I opted to do that just because I figured, you know, I don't want it to come back. Let's just take it all away now. Mm. And then 25, I was diagnosed with melanoma, which was like a fluke. There was a mole on my back, and I had it removed. Wow. 26, I had thyroid cancer. 27, my breast cancer came back in some lymph nodes. So I was going back and forth for about 2 years with my breast cancer coming back. And thankfully, you know, I'm cancer-free to this day from breast cancer. And then I also had sarcoma, which was radiation-induced from my breast cancer. So those are my five cancers I've battled, and I'm currently still in active treatment. It's almost like an immunotherapy kind of treatment, as well as I take oral chemo every day, and it's really kept my cancer dormant, my breast cancer especially, and I'm very fortunate.
Wow, that's incredible. So now, at each stage along the way, were there signs or symptoms that led to each diagnosis? You did talk about, you know, finding the breast cancer, but then the other cancers kind of as you went, like, was it something that was discovered during treatment or?
You know, it's interesting. So I actually never had any symptoms, as scary as that sounds, but I think, you know, for me, just knowing my body and, you know, if something was up, I would get it checked, but, you know, everything that I was diagnosed with, I did have no symptoms. I think for my thyroid cancer in particular, my neck was always kind of enlarged. So they actually even said to me, there's a chance that I could have had my thyroid cancer prior to my breast cancer. Wow. But when I had my PET scan actually for my breast cancer, I had worn headphones, and 1 year follow-up after that, the tech goes to me, he's like, you can't wear headphones in a PET scan. And I was like, why? He's like, because it blocks things in your neck. And I was like, well, that's interesting. So they said that there was a chance that my thyroid cancer could have been there prior, because my thyroid cancer did spread to my chest. But I had no symptoms whatsoever. I never, like, when my breast cancer spread to my lymph nodes, I never felt anything different. So, listen, I know that's scary. But I think for me, my follow-up was critical and, like, in everything that, you know, I've been through. So my, you know, getting those routine tests and just staying on top of everything, I caught everything early.
Hmm. So then each, obviously, along the way, at each step, having to hear those words, you have cancer, every time hearing those words, what was that like?
Well, it actually turned into, besides the first time after, it was like, okay, so what kind of cancer is it? So, I know that sounds so silly, but, so I would say the first, not my first time, obviously, being diagnosed because I was an infant, but my second time being diagnosed when I was told I had breast cancer, I truly didn't just cry for one day. And, I remember one of my doctors saying to me, well, I actually asked him, I said, so should I plan my funeral? And he said, no, you should go shopping at Bloomingdale's. And he's like, we're going to take care of you and you're going to be just fine. And, you know, after that, I just really focused, you know, on staying positive. And just, you know, I spoke to a lot of survivors, who were going through the same thing. And I said to myself, you know, if they could do it, I can do it. So I really just had such a positive outlook through everything. And yeah, I mean, you never expect to get diagnosed with five different cancers, but I feel like after the third time being told I had cancer, I think it upset my doctors more than it upset me because they were just like, oh my God, what's going on? But, you know, I do have a rare genetic disorder, so, which was not actually discovered till my fourth cancer. So I think at the third one, I was like, okay, it's melanoma. Like, you know, this could have just been from all my years in a tanning bed and, you know, a fluke. But when I had the thyroid cancer, I was just like, okay, something is not right here.
Yeah. So like you said, after that thyroid cancer diagnosis, you were diagnosed with that rare genetic mutation called Li-Fraumeni syndrome. So can you go into detail about what that is and how it made you feel to kind of learn about that diagnosis?
Yeah, absolutely. So Li-Fraumeni syndrome actually is a rare genetic disorder that your body is lacking the P53 tumor suppressor gene. And which means I do not have that gene. So when I was initially tested for this genetic disorder, I was, because my mom and I actually heard a segment on the radio talking about people who had adrenal cancer, and that Li-Fraumeni is linked to adrenal cancer. So my doctor at the time, I mentioned to him, I said, you know, there could be a chance that, you know, I have this syndrome, and it's so rare that, like, he even said to me, he's like, oh, that's only in a textbook. So I was like, okay. So, and he had told me I was tested for it and I was tested and I tested negative. So I was like, okay, that's great. Then, when I went to MD Anderson for my thyroid cancer diagnosis, they were like, have you ever been tested for Li-Fraumeni syndrome? And, I said, yeah, I was tested negative. And I think they looked at me like I was crazy. They're like, okay, we're gonna retest you. Because, you know, and also at the time, in all fairness, you know, probably maybe when I got tested that it wasn't as prominent at the time. So, they did test me and I was positive for it. But something interesting about my type of Li-Fraumeni syndrome is I'm what they call a spontaneous mutation, which means my parents do not have it. So that's why, you know, when I was told I was negative, it was more led to believe that, yeah, that it's, I probably am negative because my parents don't have it, because it's very common. It's passed down from, like, a family member. So when I found out I had it, you know, I was obviously shocked, but also not shocked because, you know, I've had four cancers. So it's like I finally got down to the root of the problem. And for me, I think knowing that I have had this syndrome, has saved my life. Just because my doctors are extra diligent with me. I get scans every 3 months. So if there is something, you know, they catch it early. And for me, you know, a lot of people are really scared to get genetically tested. But again, it really has saved my life. And like my sarcoma, for instance, like they caught it on an ultrasound. It didn't even show up on a scan. That's how tiny it was.
Wow.
So I feel like my survival right now against this genetic disorder is very high because my doctors are just so diligent. And, you know, if something's out of the norm for me, like, I know my body and I know I have to be my own advocate and just say, okay, I need to be tested for something if something's not right. And worst case scenario, which 90% of the time now it is, it's negative. But at least, you know, I'm my own advocate and that's what I have to do.
That's great. Yeah. So in addition to, you know, being your own advocate, do you have a network of family or friends to kind of help you get through treatment and kind of find those answers?
Oh my God. Yeah. I have an amazing support system. My husband, who I've actually been with for 15 years now, we've been married almost 8 years. Actually, I was going through chemo during my wedding, which was really a fun experience. But he's been absolutely incredible. And I always say to him, I'm like, I don't know how you do it, like, but I couldn't do it without him. So we're a really good team. And my parents are both incredible. And my brothers and my sister-in-laws and brother-in-laws, like, I have just a huge family support system, as well as friends. I mean, it's amazing what happens when something bad happens to you, the people who come to support you. I mean, it just makes it so much easier. And, you know, for me, I'm so positive. So I think it makes things for, you know, people on the outside, it makes it a lot easier for them as well. And, you know, I'm very open about my experience. So I really, my social media network is one that, like, you know, I'm so grateful for, because I use social media as, like, kind of my outlet to share my story. And I do it just in hopes that I can, you know, inspire one person or 100 people or 1 million people, so that, you know, if somebody is diagnosed with cancer or somebody's facing an illness, maybe not even cancer, they can reach out to me and I can share my story and help them along. And I really just made that my purpose.
That's great. That's a great way to pay it forward.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely.
So, like you said a little bit earlier, your experience with adrenal cancer as an infant, that led you to want to be a pediatric oncology nurse, right?
Yes.
So then how has your journey shaped your career after that happened?
So it's funny because, you know, I had always wanted to be, dreamed of being that nurse. And then when I was a patient, I was like, oh no, I do not want to do this. I'm like, I don't want my hands to be like my somebody else's life to be in my hands. Mm-hmm. So I was like, you know, and nurses are absolutely incredible. Doctors are absolutely incredible. Like, I'm so grateful because I've had so many wonderful nurses and doctors along the way. But I said, you know, after sitting at home, not working for almost 5 years, you know, back to purpose, I'm like, you know, let me do something with my life. So, I started volunteering, actually with the American Cancer Society initially. And, you know, I'm like, I like this volunteer thing. You know, this is really great. And, you know, this is kind of my new purpose. So, you know, I sat on a lot of volunteer committees and then I started working for the American Cancer Society, doing galas and events, et cetera. And, it's actually led me to my career today. I work for St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. And, for me, it's like, I am where I'm supposed to be because it's, you know, I really wanted to be that pediatric oncology nurse. And now I'm helping save children who are facing a cancer diagnosis. And for me, it's so purposeful and so meaningful. And it makes waking up, going to work every day just incredible, knowing that I am just a small part in those children's lives. And I just always, you know, say, like, I am where I'm meant to be right now at this time. And it's just my work is my purpose.
That's great. So now, while you've dealt with 5 different primary cancers, you've now, like you said, you've been cancer-free for a while, at least everything. While you're in treatment, you're still actually cancer-free. So what does life look like now in terms of surveillance and treatment?
So my treatment, like, I get treatment actually every 21 days. I get Herceptin infusions, and I take oral chemotherapy every night, and I'm on Synthroid. So I'm on, you know, a lot of pills, which is fine. I have really very minimal side effects. And I'm on it for the rest of my life. If it's not broke, don't fix it. So, I get those treatments and then, I go every 3 months to MD Anderson, and get, my whole body MRIs, ultrasounds, you know, blood work, the whole usual, you know, follow up routine scans. And they do that just for surveillance purposes. And, you know, my mentality, you know, when it, you know, in terms of my treatment is, every 3 months when I go to Houston is if they find something, I tell myself it's only 3 months old. Because a lot of people are always like, how do you deal with the fact that there's a chance you could get cancer again? And it is reality, right? Like, I have a genetic disorder that causes cancer. So it's complete reality to me. And I mean, it's always in the back of my mind, like, what if, what if, what if? But I think knowing that every 3 months I get these scans, and every 3 months, you know, I'm being surveillanced and catching things early if there is something there, it just gives me peace of mind. So that's really just my surveillance now. And, you know, just being aware of my body and knowing if anything changes to call the doctor, even if it's not 3 months, and just, you know, being my own advocate.
That's great. So now, lastly, what advice would you give someone who's just received a cancer diagnosis of their own?
Oh, so I get this question a lot, but, you know, I think the most important thing is, you know, instead of feeling like a victim to cancer, I think you really need to take your diagnosis and turn it into your purpose. And I know I've used the word purpose a lot, but it's truly like what I live by. And, you know, I feel like being diagnosed with cancer, it's truly shaped me into who I am today and just taught me to go with the flow with things in life. And, you know, I think just focusing on your purpose and your diagnosis and, you know, putting those two things together, as weird as that sounds, it will just help you overcome everything.
Thanks, Lainey, for sharing your story and helping others find purpose in their journey. Don't forget to subscribe to the Cure Talks Cancer podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or other apps to hear every episode, or visit curetoday.com/podcasts. The Cure Talks Cancer podcast is the official podcast of Cure Magazine, the indispensable guide to every stage of the cancer experience. For more information, visit us at curetoday.com and find us on Twitter at @cure_magazine or Facebook at @curemagazine.